Biblical vision is the lens that helps us interpret the events of our life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to develop 20/20 vision through the lens of God's Word.
I have seen more than one man so busy wanting to have a little more that he'll neglect the house of God. And all of that missing church and all of that overtime and all of that covetousness that filled their heart led them only to the destruction of their own family. My friend, we would be far better off with fewer possessions and with a family that loves Jesus and loves one another.
Vision is the lens that interprets the way we view people and our concept of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus reminds us as believers that we can know the truth and that the truth can set us free. If you want to know more about biblical truth, then this series is for you. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God who lives within us. In our series, 20/20 Vision, we will develop a better understanding of who Jesus is and how He can make a difference in our lives. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called, The Focus of Our Race.
There is nothing wrong with possessions until those possessions become a form of idolatry in our life. I have seen more than one man so busy wanting to have a little more and a little bigger that he'll work on Wednesdays, work on Sundays. He'll neglect the house of God, and he'll often neglect his own family. And I've seen men get to the place where finally they had the home, they had the material possessions that they wanted. There was only one problem. They were so far from God, and their heart was so stony cold that they literally ruined their family. Their children became filled with bitterness. Their wife left, or they left for another woman. And all of that missing church and all of that overtime and all of that covetousness that filled their heart led them only to the destruction of their own family. My friend, we would be far better off with fewer possessions and with a family that loves Jesus and loves one another. And sometimes we need to lay aside some of the weights that would hold us back. You know, I've found that if we'll seek first the kingdom of God, and if we'll love and honor God, He can give you that promotion at work. He can give you those customers at work. He can do things that you never could do in your greatest drivenness to accomplish. God will bless someone who seeks Him first. And so the exercise involves laying aside some of these things. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, this race we're running, it's a serious race. It's a Christian battle. And we must lay aside those things that would trip us up as we run. There's an exercise that must be followed. There's an exchange that takes place when we are saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now I ask you this morning, what is it that God would have you to lay aside in order that you might go forward for Him? Oh, let's not argue about why we can wear our sweatsuit, why we can wear our wingtips. You can if you want. But we're not just talking about being in the race. We're talking about winning the race today. What is it that perhaps needs to be set aside so that you can really go on for the Lord Jesus? He says, lay aside the weights. Notice what else He says, though, in verse 1. He said, let us lay aside every weight. And notice secondly, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. God says, I want you to lay aside some weights. I want you to lay aside, secondly, the sin which doth so easily beset us. The word sin here means the offenses, those things that are contrary to God's will for our lives, those things that are against the Bible. And I like what the terminology says. It says the sin which doth so easily beset us. How many of you have ever heard of the term a besetting sin? A besetting sin. It's that sin that the devil knows at the weak point to come and tempt you with. And God said, if you're going to stay in this race, you're going to have to lay aside some sin. This is a sin that captures the person easily and hinders his progress from going forward. Now again, God says, I want you to lay it aside. I want you to repent of it, to have a change of mind. Stop rationalizing. Stop saying it's okay. God says, I want you to lay it down. I heard one old preacher years ago say it like this. He said, if you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. And there comes a place when we have to make up our mind that this is wrong and that this lifestyle is destructive, and I will lay it down because my focus more than anything else is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 18 and verse 23 says, I was also upright before him. I kept myself from iniquity. Oh, listen, this should be our prayer. Lord, help me to be willing to lay aside whatever it is that hinders me from running the race that you've set before me. Years ago, I made a visit on a man's home in Sunnyvale, California. I knocked on his door and I told him I was from the church and had a record that his mother, in fact, had called and asked me if I'd go visit her son. And I asked him if I could talk to him for a moment. And Dennis said, sure, come on in. And I came into the home and I small talked with him for a little while. And then I kind of got right to the issue at hand. I said, Dennis, I'm here to talk to you about your soul. I'm here to talk to you about eternity. And I'd like to ask you this question, Dennis. If you died today, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? And he said, I really don't know that. I didn't know that anybody could know that. And I said, well, I'd like to take a minute and show you from the Bible how you can know. Would you let me do that? And Dennis said, that would be fine. And so I began to show him from the Bible how that all men have sinned and how that Jesus Christ, who had no sin, died on the cross so that all of us might have forgiveness. Oh, it was a wonderful time. He listened very intently. After about 35 or 40 minutes, I said, Dennis, would you like to pray right now and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, I'd like to do that. And so he bowed his head right there in his living room. And he said, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I ask you now to come into my life and forgive my sin and be my Savior. It was a wonderful moment. And Dennis was so happy. I shared with him some verses after that. And then I prayed with him. And it was a great time. Well, I shared some other verses with him and tried to encourage him to get a good start in his Christian life. And right about when I was getting ready to leave, he said, can you wait just 1 minute? He said, I have something I want to get for you. And so he went into the back room and he came into the living room and he had in his hand, he had a box. It was a shoe box. And I thought, well, this is strange. I mean, I've had sometimes people have given me gifts that I led to the Lord or that I was a blessing to them. But I'd never had someone just on the spot give me something like a pair of shoes. And I said, well, thank you very much. He said, look inside. I looked in the box. It was not shoes at all. In fact, inside of that box, there were all kinds of pills and pipes and all kinds of drug paraphernalia and little bags of grass and some type of grass or something and chopped up there. And I looked at that and he said, I just figured now that I have Jesus in me, I shouldn't be putting these things in me. You say, well, what discipleship course taught him that? It was just that the Holy Spirit was now in his life and he was now being convicted that he had to lay aside some things. He said, would you take care of this for me? And I said, well, yeah, absolutely. I said, I sure will. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I walked out of the front door of that man's house. I had a Bible under this arm and I had a box of drugs under this arm. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. I could see the headlines tomorrow. Baptist preacher sells drugs door to door, something like that, you know. The media is always looking for a good story. And I tell you what, I got into the car and I put my Bible on the passenger seat and I put my drugs right next to my Bible and I put my coat right on top of it and I buckled my seatbelt and obeyed every speed limit till I got over to a store that had a dumpster behind it and I threw that stuff back in the dumpster and drove on my way. But I'll tell you what, here was a man, he had only been a Christian just a few minutes, but the Holy Spirit was convicting him that he could not live the Christian life if he didn't set some of these things aside. And I see many times Christians who set these things aside, but then after a year or two, they'll get a little discouraged and they'll go back and pick up some of the old life, just a little here and a little there. And then they become even more discouraged to the point that they're not staying in the race that God has for them. I just want to challenge you this morning. not because I get a brownie point, not because it makes the church look any better, but because I want to see you win the race. What is it that you need to lay aside this morning in your life in order that you might be here a year from now and 5 years from now and have children one day to say, I had a daddy who finished strong. I had a mommy who loved Jesus. What will it take today? There will be a discipline in your life. Notice secondly, though, not only the discipline of the race, but I want you to see the design of the race. Now, how has the Lord designed this race? What is His idea of this life? I mean, is it just a race of futility and there's no purpose to it? Well, let's look again at verse 1 of our text. It says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this race that is set before us is individual. Every one of us have a different lane. We're not to compare ourselves one with another, but we are to find our lane, our course. And the Bible says, first of all, it is a design to run. God has designed that we would run this race. And I mean by this, He wants us to move forward. He wants us to capture new territory. He wants us to go onward forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 these words, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, listen, I'm not just beating the air. He said, I want to connect. He said, I'm not just running around without any goal. He said, I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to receive that crown someday from Him. Paul the apostle said, I want to run in order that I may obtain. God says we're to run to a prize. We're running to a prize. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We're not only to run for a prize, but we're to run to please Him. Paul the apostle said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Paul said, for every Christian who lives his life with the coming of Jesus in mind, for every Christian who lives with an anticipation that it's not just about here and now, but it's about the day when we see Christ, there will be a crown, there will be a reward that we will receive. And I believe it's important that we are challenged like this to live faithfully and to run faithfully our Christian life. Notice there in verse 1 again, it says, let us run. It's a design to run. But notice secondly, it says, let us run the race. Notice it says, with patience. Let us run with patience. It is a design to run with patience. Now, the word patience here means cheerful endurance. It means constancy. You know, as you run this life, this Christian race, you're going to find at times you'll be weary, and trials will come, and financial setbacks will come, and relationships will disrupt, and business will be up, and business will be down. And in this lifelong race, we must determine to be patient. Christopher Columbus, on his voyage to the Americas every day, would write a little something in his diary. But the thing that he wrote the most in his diary were just these little words that said, today we sailed on. Today we sailed on. You know, there will be days in your life where it's all you can do just to get up and go out and be faithful to God. But thank God for Christians who run with patience. James chapter 1 and verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God says, run with patience the race that is set before us. In Athens, long ago, there used to be games held in honor of the Greek gods and heroes. And one of the games that was run was a game that was called the torch race. This particular race was run in honor of Prometheus, one of the Greek gods. Now, this particular race involved racers going about a mile and a half outside of Athens, and they would light a torch. Each racer would hold a torch. They would then take the course of that race, a mile and a half, back into the city. And the person who reached the city limits with their torch still burning was pronounced the winner of the race. And I often think about that. I want to reach one day the end of this life with my torch still burning. I want to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my testimony for Jesus to be known. I want my torch to be burning. I want to challenge you to run the race that's set before you, and yet run it patiently. Sometimes we can get ahead of God. Sometimes we can get so frustrated that the torch will go out. And here we see that we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we see this morning the discipline of the race. It requires laying aside some things. And we see the design of the race, that we would run with patience the race that is set before us. But I want you to see finally this morning the designer of the race. The designer of the race. Who is the author of this journey called life? Who is the one who has put us on the track, if you will? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, we're not running from something, but we're running to someone. And the word here, looking, implies this, that if I will win the race, there's some things I must look away from, and there's someone I must focus on. I've found in my life that if I look at people, they will disappoint me. If I look to circumstances or the economy, it can disappoint me. This building we're seated in this morning was built not during the boom time, but during a tough time in our economy. And yet, we kept our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He completed the project. I'm simply saying this morning, we must be focused on the Lord as we run this race. The Bible says in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body will be full of light. But if the eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, God says, I want your focus to be on my light. I want to illuminate your path. I want my word to be a light of your path. Now, the designer of this race is Jesus Christ. Notice a few things about Jesus this morning. It says in verse 2, He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is then the originator of the race. He is the originator of our faith. Oh, I love this part. Christ Jesus has already run the race. He has originated this race. He and He alone has accomplished the race with perfection, and He finished it victoriously, and He evidenced that with an empty tomb. And now Jesus Christ, who ran the perfect race, says, I want you to follow me. I want you to look to me. And Jesus said, I live the life without ever sinning, without ever failing. And if you'll watch me, you'll never be discouraged. Oh, thank God for godly people in the church and how their testimony lifts me up and it encourages me. But I want to tell you, Jesus never fails. And when we look to Him, we will never be discouraged. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a great truth this is, that He is the author and finisher of our faith. Micah 5:2 says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. This verse speaks about the coming of Jesus Christ into Bethlehem's manger. And the Bible says that His goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Some of the false cults of this day would say that Jesus Christ began His existence at Bethlehem. But we know that Jesus was eternally pre-existent with God the Father, and that He is the author of our faith, and that He is the originator of our faith. But notice, secondly, He is the overcomer of our faith. For the Bible says He is the author and finisher of our faith. Thank God that what Jesus starts, Jesus finishes. He is the perfecter of our faith, and He will see us through to victory. Notice in verse 2 it says, Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. What was that joy? I believe the joy that was set before Jesus Christ, listen, I believe the joy that was set before Jesus was the fact that one day very soon He would be seated at the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father. And so for that joy that was set before him, he stayed in the race and allowed them to nail the nails through his hands and his feet and the crown of thorns upon his head. He didn't focus on the immediate moment of pain, but on the coming glory with the Father. And I say to you that one day, those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we too will join with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And because of that, we ought to endure the difficulty of this day, and knowing that one day we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus endured the cross. Notice that. The Bible says in verse number 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The word endured means to abide under. It means to endure courageously. And I want you to picture this in your mind. Jesus Christ allowed the Roman soldier to put the spear through his side. Jesus Christ allowed them to stuff the sponge into his face. He did all of that courageously. Why? Because he loved you and he loved me. And he was faithful on that cross to display the love of God. The Bible says in James 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I just want to encourage you for a moment this morning. Sometimes in this race, there will be difficult laps. Sometimes there will be laps where you're not even sure you're going to make it around to the next course. But I just want to encourage you with the fact that if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll realize that he ran a very difficult race. And he says, now look to me and follow me and you'll be faithful. Sometimes those trials come in our children's lives and in our married lives and in all different realms of life. I heard about a man and his wife who were having such trouble in their marriage. They just could not get along. And it just seemed like every day the wife was unhappy and she always complained and screamed and yelled at her husband. Finally, they decided, I don't necessarily recommend this, but they decided that they would go and see a psychiatrist. They went into the psychiatrist's office and boy, the minute they got in there, the lady began to scream and wail and moan and talk about how bad her husband was. Right in the middle of the tirade, the psychiatrist went over to that woman and he kissed her right on the lips. She stopped moaning and crying, kind of looked around. And the psychiatrist said to the man, now that's what your wife needs. The husband said, okay, I'll bring her here every Friday for that. Now sometimes it gets about that bad, doesn't it? You wonder, how am I going to go on? How can I be faithful? But I want to tell you, blessed is the man that endureth temptations and trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Notice the Bible says it here, that for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. He endured the contradiction. Sometimes you will have contradiction because you live faithfully for God. Someone will make fun of you at work. They'll call you a preacher or a deacon or a goody-two-shoes or something even less kind than that. But Jesus despised the shame and he endured that contradiction because he loves us. The Bible says in Psalm 69 and verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Jesus Christ had those moments in his life where he wanted someone to have pity, but no one seemed to care. And yet I thank God this morning that while Jesus could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away, I'm not going to stay. Why, with one spoken word, he could have taken the life of every Roman soldier and of Pontius Pilate and of all the rest of those involved in his hanging upon a cross. And yet his heart was filled not with rage, but his heart was filled with love. And Jesus Christ, who loved to the end, challenges us today. He says, as you run this race, look to me. I'll lead you on. I know what it is to have pain. I know what it is to have people contradict me. I know what it is to suffer and to have difficult days. But I didn't quit my race. And I went to the cross. And I rose up again on the third day. And so the challenge this morning, if we're going to win this race called the Christian life, is that we better keep our focus on him. Oh, listen, not the bottom line. Listen, not what we can gain. But we better keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, then we will finish the race and we'll do it with joy. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen, the devil's going to come to you this week. He's going to say, why don't you just quit? I mean, what's all this about going to church? I want to tell you something. When you become weary in your mind, take a fresh look at the cross of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Sailing with Jesus, Choosing Faith as Your Compass. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. This book will challenge you to discover vital lessons on what it means to live by faith. It will help you develop 2020 vision for what could happen when you launch out of the harbor of your comfort zone and learn what it means to have Christ on board. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.